Greetings, Saints. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. And Father, we ask you to help us to see the signs of the times, the seasons of the things that you have told us of. And thank you so much, Lord, for your blessing of your people through the midst of a fiery trial and through the midst of the bringing down of the deep state and so on and so forth. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, okay, I want to share something which is really interesting to me. I'm going to continue with David Reformer's Reveal the True House of God, part two here. And we're going to talk about the reversal of fortunes. Missy got this text for our morning prayer meeting, and Michael just got this before her. When we start getting them over and over like that, because the chances are so impossible, you know, we figure, okay, God, you really want us to pay more attention to this, and we do. She got Song of Solomon 2:10-14. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past. You know what winter is, right? According to Jesus, it's tribulation, right? The winter is past. There is a tribulation for the man, child, and the bride before the tribulation for the church, right? For lo, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. Sounds like spring, doesn't it? The time of the singing of birds is come. Now again, that sounds a lot like spring. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree ripeneth her green figs, and the vines are in blossom. Spring, they give forth their fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the covert of the steep place. Let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Now, I'm emphasizing spring here, not because of a physical spring or a timing, physical timing, but a spring for God's people. We have revelations of spring coming in fall. And we've seen so much out of that. You know, this could be many types, like what normally happens in spring will come in fall. Or spiritual spring as a resurrection life will come in fall. Or spiritual resurrection of spring will come in spiritual fall, as in the fall of the wicked, like the Red Sea, when the Israelites were spiritually resurrected, right? Coming up on the other side. Remember, Paul called it a baptism, right? The Israelites came up. The old man went down. The new man came up, right? Well, that's what I'm really looking at right now. But all of the things are connected through dates in the scripture. Not am I pointing to dates, but the things that happen at this time are connected through dates in the scripture. So is there a spiritual spring coming in the fall for God's people who are truly in a part of his house? We were discussing who was in his house and who wasn't in his house. Of course, you're safe in the king's house. Okay. The normal fall this time of the year seems to be showing that the deep state house, planned to bring down the president in the right wing at this time and to usurp their authority, in so doing, bring under them the people of God. But every plot of theirs is so goofy, it's falling to pieces. And that's due to God. God can make them stupid, and he did, and he is. Okay, so... And this is also, there's also a parallel for the church in that, the the faction in the church is the same thing. They've gone dumb. They don't know what to do. Everything that they've claimed they were going to do has failed, and all the proof is against them. So we're in the same situation here. Very interesting. So they are in the fall and falling. The righteous are having a spring. Everything seems to be a reversal of fortunes here. The Red Sea was a reversal. The oppressor became the victim. We're not looking for a date here. We want to see that now that we are beginning to see the reversal of fortunes, what happenings come with it? What is the series of events? That's what we're looking at. And I asked the Lord, I said, is it a spring and fall, Lord? And I got by faith at random, Psalm 92, 11 through 15. Mine eye also has seen my desire on mine enemies. That's a reversal of fortune. The enemies did him wrong. Okay. Mine ears have heard my desire of the evildoers that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. That sounds like spring, doesn't it? He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. There it is, right there, the house of the Lord. Not everybody stays in the house of the Lord. We'll discover that. But they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Not everybody that's called a Christian is in the courts of our God. They shall still spring forth fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and green. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there's no unrighteousness in him. Maybe it's just that this should be our faith, right? We need to exercise our faith for this spring and this reversal. And we're fighting a warfare to bring about this reversal. Obviously, God is answering prayers. I pointed out to you in part one here that Angelica discovered that the final full moon of the decade and of the year of 2019 is called the cold moon, and it happened on 12/12 at 12:12 a.m. What's the chances, huh? And of course, 12 is the number of the elect, the chosen people, and the moon represents death, right? Death to self. 12, the number of the elect, 12 tribes, 12 patriarchs, 12 apostles, so on and so forth. Cold moon could represent that it's dead and reflects only the light of the resurrected sun, right? And death is giving way to resurrection. That's a reversal of fortunes, right? Like the Red Sea situation. The Israelites will come up out of the Red Sea and leave the dead man there. This is a reversal of fortunes again, right? So the people are, of course, having trials and tribulations. But we also have seen some good deliverances and even saw some on the 12th. It is a sign of things to come for those who are truly a part of the house, right? The house of God is what? The people. Not a building, it's the people, right? However, those who walk in willful sin are not in the house. Hebrews 10:26 says, "For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins." How are you in the house if you don't have a sacrifice? But a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which tells you what happens to those that are outside the house. And a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. You know, Esther was safe in the king's house, but if she proved that she wasn't the bride material, she wouldn't be safe. we'll cover that in a minute too, you know. She was safe in the king's house, but the people of God outside were condemned. Okay. So I'm just using that as a sign of a kind of a snapshot parable, not to lead you astray or off in a different direction here. So the fierceness of fire shall devour the adversaries. There are many adversaries in the so-called church and in so-called Christianity. Adversaries, many. They're hindering everything. They're destroying. 28, a man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. These are people that set at naught Moses' law. It's not talking about the world. Of how much sore punishment think ye shall he be judged worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite to the spirit of grace. Yeah, we call them greasy gracers, right? That's what they do. So 1 Corinthians 6 and 18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is what? Without the body. Why is that? 1 John 3 and 5 says, and you know that he was manifested to take away sins, and in him, that is the body of Christ, is no sin. Whatsoever is begotten of God, verse 9, doeth no sin because his seed abideth in him. He cannot sin because he is begotten of God or born of God. So you see, there are people that are in and out, in and out, in and out. Sometimes they're more out than in. Sometimes they don't even come in. They just play religion and sit on a church pew and wait for the rapture. So I asked again, is it a spring in fall, Lord? And I got by faith at random this text, which happened in spring. All right. Esther 4, 7 and 8. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and the exact sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Well, now that'll have to be a reversal of fortunes, won't it? And it's in the spring. Also, he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given out in Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Well, the deep state in the government and in the church has ordered the death of Christians. They've planned and plotted and schemed it. From Obama on, Obama wasn't able to bring it to pass because God stopped him. But he was doing it. We even had the dreams on our site still. So the deep state has ordered, and like I said, in the state and in the church, has ordered the death of the Christians and conservatives. And our words and our dreams and our visions say that the king has ordained this for those in apostasy. He's going to drain the swamp in the church as well as in the government. And we can see now that he is draining the swamp in the government. A lot of rhinos have left the government, retired. They saw what was coming, were no doubt warned, and fled. A bunch of them fled. So here we come to the reversal of fortunes in Esther, again, for the true people of God, for those who make up the house of God. And this is in spring. Okay? So, excuse me, I'm sorry. Nisan on the Assyrian calendar is the first month. And on the Hebrew calendar, the first month of the religious year. Nisan is from the Assyrian Babylonian calendar. As you know, God's people went into bondage under these beasts. And so they ended up with their calendar. And they ended up with at least the names, you know. It's called the month of Aviv or Abib in Exodus 13 and 4. It is the spring and usually falls in the March, April on the Gregorian calendar. The Passover, which is what? A reversal of fortunes, was in the spring in the first month too. And Purim, a reversal of fortunes, is in the spring in the first month. For instance, in 2019, not that I'm pointing to that date, it's on March 21st, 2019 through March 22nd, 2019. Okay? Now, here's what you have to keep in mind. What was decreed by Haman in the spring, he was given authority by the king. What was decreed by him in the spring, Nisan, was to be carried out in the following 12th month of Adar. Esther 3:12 and 13. Then were the king's scribes called in the first month. Okay. On the 13th day thereof, and there was written according to all that Haman commanded unto the king's satraps and to the governors that were over every province and to the princes of every people, to every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language in the name of King Ahasuerus, was it written. And it was sealed by the king's ring. And the letters that were sent by post into all the king's provinces to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month. So the decree that went out in the first month was to happen in the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for a parade. Now, remember, the first month was spring. So this is just before spring, the 12th month, when it was actually to come to pass. Okay? So, continuing in the Nisan story, okay? Esther 4:13, I'm going to read down through 5 and 2. Then Mordecai bade them return answer unto Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Okay, this is a warning that those who believe that they are in the bride but don't intercede to the king for the true people of God are really deceived. And they're not going to escape. So, because she did intercede. She did escape. And the people with her, right? So let us pray for those in the house for this reversal of fortunes. And let us pray for those who we are believing to be in the house, right? Okay, because faith calleth the things to be not as though they were, right? And faith is accounted as righteousness, you know. If you've got even young people who are in caught up in apostasy as in a church. I came through a couple of apostate churches, and I didn't stay there very long because I was reading the Word of God, and I was respecting the Bible over and above what they said. And that's what sprung me out of them. So there are people like that. They're innocent. They're ignorant, but innocent. And both are, of course, a cause for God's grace and mercy, right? So you can pray for these people and believe for them. Verse 14, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then will relief and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house will perish. And who knoweth whether thou art not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return answer unto Mordecai. And Mordecai means little man or man child. She was the bride. He was the man child. That's what the parable is about. "Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to law, and if I perish, I perish. Well, obviously, this is a great time to fast and pray. We're seeing the reversals begin here. This is a good time to fast and pray before the decree of Haman is set to come to pass, right? So, Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now, it came to pass on the third day, this ends up Nisan 16. In my research, this is what was on Nisan 16, that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the entrance of the house. And it was so that when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. So Esther was the bride, and really the only one in the parable who had favor with the king, so that he would answer her petitions for the true people of God. I say for the true people of God. Okay. And Esther 5, 3 through 4 goes on. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee, even unto the half of the kingdom." I've pointed out again that she manifests being a joint heir with Christ. She manifests it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people will be in the kingdom, but they won't be a joint heir. They're only going to get a measure of that. And Esther said, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." And that was Nisan 16. Okay. So when I read the text of Esther, chapter 7, 7:1 through 8:3, I saw that this all happened on the same day. But what day? Well, back when we did this research, Michael Hare and I myself looked in Esther and did some calculating. Haman's death decree of the Jews was written on Nisan 13, the day before Passover, Esther 3 and 12. And on that day, Esther started a three-day fast, and then went to see the king on the third day. That's Esther 4, 16 through 5, 1 and 4. This day, quote, this day, which was the first banquet on Nisan 16. And on the next day, he goes on to say, Nisan 17, was the second banquet of wine. Esther 5 and 8 and 7 and 2. And the exposing of Haman's treachery against the Jews and his subsequent hanging on his own gallows. I wanted to find out this day because on the same day, Mordecai, as a type of the man-child, came before the King of Kings to receive his authority, which was all on Nisan 17. This day we found was the second most common and famous Bible day after Passover. So let's look at the text a little more here. Esther 7 and 1. And let's see, I'm going to read through, well, on down through 8. Let me just start here. So the king and Haman came to banquet, to the banquet, with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine. This was Nisan 17. It was the day of first fruits. "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom, and it shall be performed." Then Esther the queen answered and said, If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. So obviously don't forget to petition the king for the life of his true people. Those who are walking in the light, it doesn't matter where they are along the path. If they're walking in the light, you can't do any better than that, right? That's why I say innocence and ignorance does help. but the thing is, you can't stay in ignorance if you want to continue to bear fruit, 30, 60, and then 100-fold, right? So, because it's the word, the seed going into your heart that brings forth the fruit. So going on, but if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my peace, although the adversary could not have compensated for the king's damage. Then spake the king Ahasuerus and said unto Esther the queen, Who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, An adversary, an enemy, even this wicked Haman. Oops. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. Yep, you betcha. And I tell you, there's a reversal of fortunes happening right now. Haman was, by the way, so demon-possessed, like these same people out there, that he had no idea that he was wicked. He was just so self-righteous, and so are they. They're so self-righteous. You tell them they're bad, and it just goes right over their head. John 16:2 says, They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the hour cometh that whosoever killeth you shall think that he offereth service to God. That's massive ignorance, isn't it? But that's what they're doing in the faction in the church and in the faction in the government. Yep. They even start world wars in the deep state to make money and sacrifice children for power from Satan. Yeah. How decrepit can you get? Yet they are so self-righteous, you can't get anything across to them. No proof affects them. I've personally seen this really strong since 2010 and 11. Really strong. You can't convict them of nothing. They don't have any respect for the law, the God, the laws of man, the Constitution, depending on who you're talking about. It's the same demons, though. Well, Esther 7:7. The king arose from his wrath, in his wrath, from the banquet of wine. And this is still the same day, in this end 17. And went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the palace of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the couch whereon Esther was. Then said the king, Will he even force the queen before me in the house? Yeah, well, probably an angel there tripped him, you know, no doubt. The faction have tried to molest the bride with an evil seed, but those who received it proved not to be the bride, right? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. I believe this is talking about reprobation, you know. The false leadership could no longer see the face of Christ in the mirror, only darkness, right? Then said Harbona, one of the chamberlains that were before the king, Behold also the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman hath made for Mordecai, who spake good for the king, standing in the house of Haman. And the king said, Hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then was the king's wrath pacified. Reminds me of Romans 11:9. And the king and David saith, Let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. That now this is happening in the government and in the church. And it is a reversal of fortunes. In Esther 8 and 1, on that day, that is the same day, Nisan 17, did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king. Ooh, this is good. This is good. So this is the man-child being caught up to the throne of the king of kings. By the way, Ahasuerus was the king of kings. He was the king over kings. And our Jesus, of course, is the king of kings. And by the way, Jesus was resurrected on Nisan 17. Pretty interesting how God connects things, you know, with these dates. For Esther had told what he was to her. And the king took off his ring, that's that ring of authority, right, which he had taken from Haman. He gave Haman authority to persecute, to crucify the people of God. Now he's giving Mordecai, the man-child, the authority to save them. Isn't that interesting? The Lord here is doing all of the work, all that's necessary for his people. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. So authority to persecute is taken from the beast and given to the man-child who was caught up to the throne, authority. And that's the resurrection. By the way, we've been calling that the resurrection. Resurrection and then catching up to the throne, like with Jesus, right? Over his persecutors. And that was on Nisan 17. Okay. Pretty neat. Verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Well, notice, up to this point, it was the same day, Nisan 17. And later, the bride again requests deliverance for what is in type the woman church. But when the king basically says to Mordecai and to Esther, you have the ring, you do it. That's basically what he said. Okay, you got the ring, go take care of it. Yeah. Well, notice it's that way with us too. The Lord has, he tells us what to do. He even shows us what to pray. He gives us the guidance, but he expects us to do it. Remember the warfare in the heavens between Satan and his angels and the angels of God was happening at the behest of the people of God who were exercising their authority on the earth. Revelation 12. Yeah. So as the Lord said, I've given you authority. I mean, a lot of people are asking God to do things, and that's good, but if you got to be willing to be the vessel through whom he does it, right? Verse 7, then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. Listen, folks, this authority is going to happen. It is happening, actually. It is happening. We've been exercising authority over Haman, over the beast, you know, and it's even going to happen more so in the tribulation period as the man-child leads the woman through the wilderness, right? And him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also to the Jews, as it pleaseth you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. We have authority. You know, the authority is the right to use power. We even have authority over all the power of the enemy. We can demand that their power is used in a certain way or not, like Paul did in 1 Corinthians 5 when he turned a man over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit would be saved in the day of the Lord. Right? And he said, seal it with the king's ring. We have the king's authority. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Okay. But there was a reversal from the beast to the bride and the man-child, because he took the ring away from them and he gave it to the bride and the man-child. So the message is unmistakable. The man-child and the bride are given on Nisan 17 authority over the beast body to delegate to all the church. In other words, they were going to send out this letter to all the church to stand for their lives and to take down their enemies, etc., etc. So they passed on this authority. Most of the church today doesn't know they have any authority. They were crying and moaning and groaning when the edict of Haman went out because they knew they didn't have any authority. And now, because of the man-child and brides coming to the throne, they're going to have authority. They're going to know about their authority. And woe unto the devil and his people, and Haman and all of the beast, right? So he's going to delegate it to all the church. And of course, we have authority over the enemy all the time. Luke chapter 10:19, behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall anywise hurt you. But let me point out to you, even though Jesus said that, 99% of the church doesn't believe it and have never tried to do it and think it passed away because of their lying preachers, which is one of the reasons God's going to use the deep state to take down apostate religion so that the man-child will be respected and the authority of the man-child will be respected. Now we're looking at Haman being taken down here. See, it's going to happen. So he's given you authority. Exercise it. Just like he told them, okay, you got the ring, go do it. However, the beast was destroyed instead, and the celebration of Purim was instituted with great joy to the people of God. And when the man-child Jesus was anointed, he preached Isaiah 61, which along with chapters 62 was a great blessing upon the bride, and 63 is the man-child's destruction of those who sought their birthright. Edom, like David, conquered Edom after he was anointed. So, you know, see, we connect things here. We know what's coming. We know what authority we have. We have faith because we can see what God is saying. We're prepared to do the will of the king, right? And my purpose, again, in following in this study is not to prove a date, but a happening of the fall of the beast and the resurrection of God's people whenever it comes. Dates connect happenings so that we can see the bigger story. All right. And back when I started this thing and did some research on it, I found Nisan 17 events by a guy named Robert Fade, a former nuclear engineer who holds a graduate degree in theology and a Nobel Prize for mathematics. And he had a list of Nisan 17 events. And so I took his list, and a couple of them I kicked out because I wasn't sure about. And then I put my own notes in there because I'm connecting things, you see. And amazingly, Nisan 17 is the day in our text, the first fruits man-child Mordecai, meaning little man, appears before the King of Kings, and receives his ring of throne authority. And this is as the man-child is caught up to the throne in Revelation 12, right? And this ends 17, Esther, the bride, asks for and receives deliverance from the beast, as did Moses, taking Israel and leaving Egypt for the wilderness tribulation on this end 17. So now we have the man-child anointed and the tribulation starting on this N17. Okay, and here's one of Robert's notes here. It's in 17. Noah's Ark safely rested on Mount Ararat, Genesis 8 and 4. And he said, note that the seventh month was later designated as the first month at the time of the Exodus, Exodus 12 and 2. All right. And my thought was, the beast loses authority and perishes under the waters of judgment. The new leadership of God's people comes down out of heaven upon the earth. On this end 17. Born from above, right? On this end 17. And then here's Robert's note too. In this end 17, the Hebrews entered Egypt. Exodus 12, 40 through 41. 430 years before their deliverance. And my thought was, well, they went into beast bondage and out of beast bondage on the same day, Nisan 17. Just as the people of God went into beast bondage and come out on Nisan 17. And then Robert's note, Nisan 17, Moses led the Israelites through the parting of the Red Sea. Ooh. And my thought was, and out of Egypt on the same day, 430 years later, Exodus 3, 18, and 5 and 3. Ain't God good? And this end 17, my note, then Moses, the man-child, led the people of God into the wilderness, which Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 call the tribulation. And if you think you're going to fly over the tribulation, you are wrong. It does not fit anything in the scriptures. Nothing. And this happened in spring. Nisan and Abib are the first month in spring. Okay. So could we have something to happen in our spring? In our coming spring? Yes, of course. It's very possible. And could it actually come in the fall? Yes, of course. It's very possible. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a spiritual death and resurrection here. Okay. I mean, I've talked about that before, the possibilities. But I'm talking about a spiritual death and resurrection. Spring is resurrection. And the fall is death, right? You're entering into death. So Robert's note, Nisan 17, Israel entered and ate the first fruit of the promised land, Joshua 5, 10 through 12. And my thought was, and then this day represents the coming of the Lord in his first fruits man-child ministry. Yeah, Nisan 17, he was before the king, received the anointing. Because he had borne the fruit, right? Mm-hmm. And Robert's note, Nisan 17, the cleansing of the temple by Hezekiah, 800 years after entering the promised land. 2 Chronicles 29, 1 through 28. All right. Well, Hezekiah was a type of the man-child who by faith conquered the Sennacherib Assyrian beast and was caught up to the house of God on the third day. Pretty neat. We can see so many things. Well, we are entering into this time, and so, you know, just know that God's going to turn things around for the righteous, and an awful lot of Christians things aren't going to be turned around for, and it's because they don't seek God, they don't love God, they're not disciples of Christ. Robert's note, Nisan 17, Queen Esther saved the Jews from elimination. Yes, Esther 3, 12, 5, 1, and chapter 7, 3 through 6. And the bride petitioned the King of Kings who hanged Haman, just as with Judas and Absalom. Yeah, they were hanged. And for what they did to the man-child, to crucify the man-child, the David, too, you know. And all who had authority to crucify the man-child body, like the faction in our day, right? Nisan 17, the king took the ring of his authority from Haman, whom he hanged, and gave it to Mordecai, the man-child, who appeared before the king. All of that was on Nisan 17. And then Robert's note, Nisan 17, the resurrection of Messiah. Think about it. Okay, I did. And I think that the Lord showed us through word and dreams that the resurrection of Jesus in the man-child would be the catching up to the throne of authority. And now we see that it is on Nisan 17. And Jesus' resurrection is also our resurrection, for we were crucified and resurrected with him. Okay, but we're talking about the first fruits now. So this is the resurrection of the first fruits man-child on Nisan 17. Received the ring. Came to the throne, right? 1 Corinthians 15:20-23. But now hath Christ been raised from the dead, the first fruits. Okay. That's a man-child called to the throne, the first fruits of them that are asleep. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, and then they that are Christ's at his coming. Amen. Then Robert has a note here. He said the odds of just two of these events, both happening accidentally on the same day. We don't believe in accidents, do we? Of the Hebrew year, 360 days, are 129,000 to 1. The odds of these events all happening coincidentally on the same day of the Hebrew year are 1 in 783 quadrillions, 864 trillion, 876 billion, 960 million. Wow. That's impossible, right? But obviously, God is at work. And if you add my red notes on this N17 events to Robert's, it makes this number of impossibility out of sight. It's impossible. It's much, much higher. So isn't it cool? Now, we started this reversal of fortunes here. They thought they were going to get the president. And, of course, if they got the presidency and they took over the presidency, they would reverse everything that Trump did. And they would take away all the rights of the Christians, just like they did under Obama. And so, but now most are thinking that it's impossible for them to kick the president out of office. And actually, Democrats are fleeing the Democratic Party, and they're railing at their House people because they're doing this. And it's just amazing what's happening. They shot themselves in the foot. There's no doubt about it. And Pelosi and Schiff, the biggest liars out there, are going to be proven for what they are, because now it's going to the Senate, and the Senate's going to ask questions, and the Senate's going to be able to do what they weren't able to do in the House, and they're going to have control. So you see, there's a lot of information about to get out. And by the way, Lord, we just ask you to bring down the mainstream media. Bring them down, Father. They're liars. They're the false prophets of this deep state government. And they're keeping everything they can from the people, but it's gradually getting out no matter what. The internet goes everywhere. They'd hate it. They hate it, but there's nothing they can do about it. I do believe we've got a dark time coming when they're going to take down the internet. and that Trump is going to use this for martial law to take them out. So everything they do comes back on their head. This is a reversal of fortunes. You know, when Pharaoh decided I made a mistake in releasing or giving them freedom, so to speak, and gathered up his army and ran after them down at the Red Sea, which is what they're trying to do now, it's where they met their destruction. And I believe we're going to see an ultimate Red Sea destruction for them. I believe one of the biggest things they're going to do is retaliate against the people of the United States. And the people of the United States are going to fully realize the evil of these people and are going to rise up against them totally. And so everything that they've done is to shoot themselves. Praise be to God. And that's what God says over and over and over, that he's going to do with the wicked, that the traps that they lay, they will fall into it themselves, right? And they have laid traps, and they've been getting away with it for many, many years. They've done much destruction, stolen much from the people of God and from the United States. And everything's been reversed. Father, we just agree with your word. There are people out there that say this is all false prophecy, that Trump is not Cyrus, and, you know, it's all a big trap. Well, look, we know the tribulation is coming, and it is to force God's people into one camp or the other, because a lot of them can't make up their mind. And the mark of the beast was ordained by God. He prophesied it. He said it was coming. It's the mark of the beast that identifies the beast. And there are many of God's people that are going to take the mark of the beast. They've already taken it in the spirit, and they're going to take it in the flesh, and it's going to identify them. And these people are being identified by the evil that they have done that they never hoped would come to light. It's so wicked. And the fact that they're going to fight against their own country as a bunch of Judases, just like Judas did, and hang themselves is just going to count. It's got to happen. It's going to come to pass. This is a parable the Lord has given us to, I believe, bring many people into the kingdom, to bring about a great revival, because of the harsh things that they're going to do against the United States and against this government. I believe they're going to try to take over D.C., and I believe they're going to lose their shirt and their pants. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that you are so good. And we know, Lord, we don't deserve this. It's just amazing and astounding. Your grace and your mercy is astounding. We know we don't deserve this, and there's a lot of people that deserve it less than we do, because they've walked in apostasy, and they've walked contrary to your word. They ignored your word and made kingdoms of their own, and they rule over people, and they rob and they plunder your people. And, Lord, we know that you're going to use the deep state to take that down. Lord, you don't miss anything. You have control over all vessels of wrath and of mercy. You have all. You use them all for your glory, Lord. And we thank you for that, Lord, because we know that you are the creator and you are creating sons of God through all of this, what looks like such a mess. You are creating sons of God. You are teaching. You are putting the fear of God back in your people. Lord, we're so happy for what you're doing, and we know you're so happy for what you're doing. We know that you have wanted to see this day come. And we thank you, Lord, that your angels will go forth and preserve those who are yours, those who are not a hindrance to your people or a stumbling block to your people. You said, Lord, that you were going to gather the stumbling blocks out of the way. And so we thank you, Father, that you're doing it. The preachers of repentance are out there in the spirit of John the Baptist. They're preaching repent change your mind. This is what the true house looks like. No, that thing you made there is not the house of God. And so they're out there. They're everywhere. They're preaching it. Truth and righteousness. And it's going to happen. And that spirit will give way to the spirit of the anointed man child. Just like it did with Jesus. Remember, Jesus, when he started preaching the exact same thing John the Baptist did, quoting him. And then, of course, he brought in the everlasting gospel. Oh, praise you, Father. You are so awesome. Thank you for your miracles for your people. Lord, we pray that during this time, as your angels protect your people, that you will do astounding miracles that will not be able to be hidden. We pray that you bring down the mainstream media and bring forth some media that will speak truth. Thank you so much, Father, that these people are criminals and they can be proven to be in on this criminality of the deep state. They're hired by the deep state. They've been paid by the deep state, and they're working for them. And they're afraid of losing this because they're all involved in Satanism with the deep state, sacrificing children and everything else. They're involved in it. And they don't want this Trump to be successful or us to be successful. They're fighting for their life, and they're getting more stupid by the day. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. You are so good, and you're so awesome, and you never miss anything, Lord. It's all to your glory, Lord. We praise you, and we thank you. And thank you for joining us today, saints. And, Father, we just ask you to bless Michael Hare and all the brethren that are coming to listen, and they get wisdom and direction for the days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name, Father. Amen. All right. Good night, saints. Bless you.